Maar wat is Moedisch man? Not man, Moedisch man. We're Moedisch mammon.
Yep.
We're Moedisch men. But this is about magazine on RTR.
Good morning, this is RTR FM 92.1. Jim here, Tony joining me shortly. Moorich Mag on RTR FM 92.1, Noongar Radio and Minang Country, Great Southern FM and Ninkana Country up in Derby. So new listeners up in Derby and the Kimberley, and we've had the courtesy of having Jason Hunter, one of our Ninkana correspondent, if you like, having a yarn to us last week. Coming back again today because he's got political aspirations. So it's good to be on Whadjuk country here and talking to our mob on Minang country and Ninkana. Moorich Mag, a weekly show, good news stories. We try to bring in good news stories, so and stories pertinent to Minang and Ninkana in the future. So Tony's about to join us. We're talking to Uniting Care, an NGO, a service provider, which we'll learn more about. Listeners may know that we have had service providers on our show in previous times. Not regular, but it's important for our community to understand what services are around, who they can rely on to provide a service for them, and so we'll learn about Uniting Care, or Uniting, as it sounds, a church-based, faith-based service. So that's coming up shortly. But before we go there, let's have a listen to a song from Gina. Mr. Neville, Gina Williams and Guy Gauss. And earlier, Bindi Bindi. Welcome to Moorich Mag. You've just tuned in. 92.1, Noongar Radio, Great Southern FM. And new listeners up in Ninkana Country in Derby. And as I said, we got some guests today in from Uniting, Michael and Tony. Hello, Tony.
How you going, Cobber?
Tony Calgarrett. Tony, who's your mob? Where are you from?
My mob, Ngadju mob from down Norseman, and Radani mob from Bunbury.
Right.
And mum was Ngadju, dad was Noongar.
Right.
So it makes me Mulpa, which is a cross between the two.
Go on.
Yeah.
Good on
You're one of them too, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I'm sort of partially there too. Tony Calgarrett. Michael Chester.
That's correct.
Welcome to Moorich Mag.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good.
Thank you
so
much.
You've been trying to get on the program for ages.
Oh, well, you know.
What's kept you back?
Coordinating diaries, I believe. But anyway, we're here today, and that's the most important thing.
So, Michael, who's your mob and where are you from?
Okay, well, my accent gives me away that I'm not from these
right,
parts.
Okay.
Yeah, so I will share. I am Canadian by birth, Australian by choice. Lived here for 30 years, more than 30 years now, more than half my life living in Western Australia. Consider myself very privileged to be welcome in this place. My mother is Scottish, my father Canadian, but with English background and French-Canadian background.
There you go.
DNA recently done. I've got a little bit of Viking in me, which I think that's quite common in the Scottish genes.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, well, welcome to Moorich Mag. Back to you, Tony. That song, Mr. Neville, that obviously has connotations for you, but we won't go there. Any thoughts about Gina Williams singing Mr. Neville before we talk about your work?
Look, I think whatever music Gina chooses to sing, if she chooses to sing it in Noongar, that is really, really good. And, you know, I mean, so many people in Noongar country don't actually speak the language, and so it's nice for them to hear a Noongar language being sung by someone with such a good voice as Gina. And, you know, I mean, I've been to some of her shows, and, in fact, I know Gina's mother. She was in the mission with me in Rollins.
Right.
So, yeah, we've been friends for a long time, and I love listening to her sing.
Good, good, good.
It's great.
Well, we might introduce some more music that you might like during the show. It's not a long show. It's only for an hour, and you might get four or five songs in. But Uniting. Who is Uniting? What do they do? How are they formed? What sort of an organisation is Uniting?
Tony's throwing to me for
this. I'm the First Nations Cultural Advisor. He's one of the CEOs.
One of the CEOs. Yeah. So CEOs, you'd be a full bottle on what the organisation does.
Co-CEO, Uniting WA. So Uniting WA, we are the community services agency of the Uniting Church in Western Australia. We have a very long history of delivering community services in Western Australia, dating back to not long after colonization, and about 18 years ago we were incorporated into a single entity that comprises many of those original agencies and the original work that was undertaken by people of the Methodist, Presbyterian and congregational churches. So as a community services agency now, you know, we're primarily government funded to deliver services across a really diverse range of vulnerability and need in the community. That incorporates children in care, disability, mental health, financial well-being services, working with families to support them to thrive. We're a community housing provider. We assist prisoners to reintegrate into the community after lengthy sentences in prison, and work very much to support people who are experiencing homelessness. So very diverse range of services delivered predominantly in the metropolitan area, although we do have a disability services arm in Great Southern, based in Albany.
Wow. There you go. So we're learning all about Uniting today, Uniting Care. It's faith-based, church-based, Presbyterian and Methodist?
Presbyterian, Methodist, and congregational churches merged in about 1976, 1977
right.
to form the Uniting Church in Western
Good.
Australia.
Okay. We may get a chance to talk about the synergies that have occurred in more recent times with the church and the acquisition of Sister Kate's old children's home. So, okay. So why did you want to come and talk on radio about your service? Is there, obviously, you've launched a strategic plan recently and all that's going well, working to better together First Nations Strategy 2025 and 2028. And I guess from our point of view, it's a strategic plan and not a reconciliation action plan. Do you want to give some thoughts as to why you went down that track?
Yeah, I came to Uniting back in October 2023 after working in other places, including Kinship and Kinship Connections and Key Assets. And over the years, I've noticed people have wrap plans and, yeah, they have it, but there's not much action comes out of them. And so to me, that sort of was like, I would think about it as a tick a box
yep.
exercise. And I really didn't want that to happen. So when I came here to Uniting, I said that I didn't want to do a wrap. And I was very promptly asked by the CEOs, so what are you going to do? And I said, well, let's have a First Nations strategy that's been developed by the staff and that would be reporting to the CEOs and to the board, and that's where the buck stops, rather than jumping through hoops like you yep. might with a wrap plan. And what we've done with it is, instead of it being a thick document that quite often repeats itself, we've trimmed it right down, and it's very clear about where we want to go with it, and I'll leave a copy here with you.
Sure.
So what we wanted was for us to be able to see the plan and to be able to know how we're going to implement it and how we're going to measure the success or challenges that come with it. So in a sensible way rather than a convoluted thing or a more complicated thing.
Mm.
So we've now printed our First Nations strategy.
Right.
And it's out there in the public domain now.
Available on our website.
Our website. And, we're about to start doing some of the stuff that we wanted to do in other, like in wrap plans, but that never got done.
Yeah, okay. Todd, you haven't said a word yet. Are you going to say hello to our listeners? I mean, they want to hear from you, you know.
Yeah, no, it's great to be back on air again, Jimbo, and great to have uniting here with us today and sharing what they're doing and how they're, you know, building those relationships in our communities. It's out there and sounds like really great and inspiring stuff that they're doing. And I think looking at their new release of their Better Ways National First Nations Strategy, I think it's a really good, fundamental document, and I think it's it's simple, but it's authentic as well, what I'm seeing in it.
It's pragmatic.
Think it's a great way of building relationships moving forward.
Yeah. Look, we might have to go to a song, but I want to hear what other services you're doing. You mentioned disability in the Southwest. Let's talk more after this song about what the actual services you're performing, as you say, primarily in the metropolitan area. Let's go to a song. I think you'd like this one. It's Blackfella, Whitefella. Obviously, it's in the spirit of reconciliation. Let's play Wurrumbi, eh?
Yeah, I think that's a better one.
Let's have Wurrumbi, that's for sure.
Oh, yes, our guests have been rocking around the studio with Wurrumbi, Whitefella, Blackfella. Obviously, because they're white and black. Ah, in the spirit of reconciliation, these two are talking about their work at Uniting, why they've got a strategic plan and not a reconciliation action plan. But there you go, Wurrumbi. We'll play some more of them a little later. Welcome back, Michael and Tony from Uniting Care.
Uniting WA.
I've got to get this right.
Yeah.
Okay, tell us about the services you operate, where it all came from, because we were talking during the break about how you were inspired by a previous employee. Tell us that story.
Yeah. So, you know, as I said earlier, Uniting was formed about 18 years ago out of a number of different services. And right from the beginning of its incorporation, you know, the people, my predecessors, recognized the importance of working with First Nations people because so many of the services that we deliver are provided to First Nations people. And so there's been a long commitment to reconciliation and cultural awareness and cultural understanding and cultural safety. I joined Uniting about 8 years ago, and I was very fortunate to work with Auntie Josie Hansen, who was our cultural architect at the time that I joined Uniting WA, and as a member of the executive team who was able to educate me more than I knew anecdotally about Noongar culture and First Nations culture, I feel very privileged that I had that opportunity. And we at Uniting previously had wraps, and you know, we did what we could to, I suppose, enact the actions that we had in the wraps. But as Tony said earlier, you know, what was really important for us now in terms of developing a First Nations strategy is something that's really embedded within the organization, rather than something that is kind of top down. Directive from management, and I think we've achieved that. When Auntie Josie passed, that obviously put a bit of a spanner in the works for us in terms of, you know, where we were at with our work to embed it, as well as COVID and all of the distractions that provided to us. So when my co-CEO Jen and I had our first conversation with Tony, we were so pleased to hear that Tony and ourselves were on the same wavelength around really wanting to make sure that whatever the next iteration of reconciliation activity for Uniting was, that it would be embedded within the organization and not something that sits aside. the work that we do. And so that's our objective in this First Nations strategy. The other thing I think that's really important for us is that it's aligned to the Closing the Gap principles as well. So, you know, we've really worked at bringing something together, creating something that is not just a document. I mean, that's part of it. That, you know, is our tangible evidence of what we've done, but something that we will embed throughout our services as we move forward.
I'd like to say that the strategy that we've designed is about all Noongar. Everything that's in that document, it's Noongar. It doesn't, even the design doesn't have dot painting and stuff like that. We've got Noongar art.
Right. Okay. So that's, well, now let's talk about services you provide. Mm. What's on the ground for First Nation people on Noongar country?
Mm. Well, I think we know every day from our homelessness services that First Nations people, Noongar people are, well, all First Nations people are highly overrepresented in, you know, the terms of the people experiencing homelessness. And our services, which range from outreach to our Tranby engagement hub, which provides kind of critical day-to-day services, to our crisis accommodation and our supportive accommodation, all of those services that we provide across the homelessness spectrum, there's a significant overrepresentation of First Nations people in those services. And so we're very aware that it's really, really important in the work that we do that we understand, to the extent that we can understand, you know, what cultural safety means for people who are incredibly traumatized, not just by their current experience of experiencing homelessness and sleeping rough, but the intergenerational trauma and the impact that that has. And for our team members working in that space, they really work hard to understand that. And one of our objectives in terms of our First Nations strategy is to increase the employment of Aboriginal people in our services. And, you know, that's where we see incredible value in terms of our team members having work colleagues who can also support them on a day-to-day basis.
Of course.
Tony's there as a mentor for people if, you know, if they have a situation that arises and they want to kind of dig deeper or understand it better, or understand how to be more aware of what they're doing. And that's fantastic for us at Uniting.
Well, it's also important to note that with the employment in Uniting, we're not just looking at base level. We're looking at the whole organisation.
Good. And you know, part of that is working with other organisations, Aboriginal Community-Controlled Organisations, or as we abbreviate, ACOs. So what's involved in that in your work? I mean, obviously being someone of First Nation background, you'd understand the ACO structures and what they do and who's in the, you know, who's in the arena.
Most of the ACOs have either long-term relationships with organisations, or they're establishing new ones, as is Uniting with Yokai. It's an interesting area of work, considering there is this movement of funds from government to, or from community service organisations like Uniting WA, to the ACOs.
Right.
And so there's a big change happening there, and indeed, and some of those ACOs don't want to join up with community service organisations. They want to do it on their own, and that's fine.
It's a hard lesson for some of the ACOs, I think, to be able to understand that. I suppose the governance issues that can restrict certain organisations, what they're expected to do with a little bit of government funding. So that's where Uniting can play a role in partnership.
Yeah, governance and accountability, like for the money and for the reporting at a higher level than what would normally be through an ACO. Right. So, yeah, there is issues there that we can help with.
Okay, we're going to go to a song, and we're going to come back and talk about reconciliation and healing. Michael, you mentioned Close the Gap and some of those sort of initiatives nationally around what sort of focus we're having to close the gap in some very important areas. And there are some that are missing, really, you know, around aged care, imprisonment, removal of children, even those sorts of things. So let's go to a song and come back and talk about the spirit of reconciliation. Oh, if you just tuned in, this is Murich Mag, and that was Carl Yakuri, Box Kid, otherwise known as Jared Wall Noongar Singer, who's very closely associated with RTR-FM. And, and if you've just tuned in too from Ningata Country, the local radio station up in Derby is Lugardy, which means the Boab tree. So if you've just tuned in, I'm Derby, Ningata Country. Great to have you listening in, and hope you're learning something from Uniting Way here that are guests in our studio this morning, both Tony Cowgarrett and Michael Chester. Oh, look, yep. See, I told you I've got memory problems.
I'm not saying anything.
Welcome back to Buddhist Bag, and we're talking reconciliation and healing. We're talking the work that Uniting Way does, and they're all around the metropolitan area. They're doing some services in disability in the southwest, so we're learning a little about that. And I suppose with that reconciliation and healing, what are some of the biggest challenges you face from that in dealing and providing a service to First Nation peoples?
Just getting to the organisations and the community itself is a difficult task. There's echoes all over the place. And, you know, we can spend time working with and keeping contact with the echoes. But when the bottom line is, as I said earlier, about the programs shifting from community service organisations like Uniting WA into the ACOs, the issue there is that most of the community service organisations need to have partnerships with ACOs, and most of the ACOs either don't want to do that, or they already have connections with large community service organisation. So it can be a bit of a problem, but what I do is I make sure that I keep contact with people like yourselves and others. And I mean, we get people in to do work with us too. I mean, like, had Martin Smith in there to talk about training, those sorts of things.
Right.
I think for us, you know, in terms of as Uniting and what we do in terms of the work with First Nations people, it comes back to that really important step of ensuring that our team members who are working with people on the ground, you know, at frontline level, have a better understanding of First Nations culture, a better understanding of intergenerational trauma, a better understanding of the differences between maybe the way that non-Aboriginal people and Aboriginal people think and view family and view culture and view connection to country. And so that's where, you know, Tony comes into play in terms of his role as First Nations advisor. That's many of the initiatives that we've got within our First Nations strategy are directed at, you know, education and information and training for our team members, as well as how can we make our organization more appealing to Aboriginal people to come and work with us and be part of our organization to use the skills that they have in their professional career, as well as support First Nations people who come to us for support, as well as support their peers and colleagues.
Yeah, look, there's another question that's going to come out of left field now, but we might go to a song first. I want to ask you the question about how you lift your game when there's been a real kick in the guts for First Nation people. I'm referring to the referendum last year. And maybe even this year there was big kickback on Australia Day, Invasion Day. Lots of, I've perceived myself, a lot of hatred, a lot of racism. How do you cope with that? And how do you keep the workforce involved and in tune? So let's go to the song. It's Yuthi Indi.
There was a friend of mine on murder. the judge's gavel fell. Jury found him guilty, gave him 64 years.
Yeah, gotta fade that one out. Ooh, Yossi Indy, very poignant song there. Jailbreak and all about ending up a sheet around his neck. No, we don't go. Won't go there. Yes, and our guest today from Uniting. Gonna finish off the interview with the question around challenges. Now that there's been very vocal opposition to what our world is all about with the referendum, and even more recent with Invasion Day, Australia Day. How do you keep your workforce committed and anxious, or how do you keep them going? Because it has been a detriment, I think, to First Nations people across the country.
Well, for starters, I like to think that most of our staff are pretty open-minded. But if we talk about things like the referendum, for example, I mean, that was done poorly by the government. But when it comes down to us here on the ground, what I tried to do was onto the internet, or not so much the internet, but platform teams, and ran it right through the organisation that it was a referendum that everybody had to vote in. And what I said to them is, no matter which way you vote, you still need to vote. Now, I didn't say to them, you should vote this way. I allowed them to make their own decisions. And then after the referendum, I went back on again and I said, look, okay, we got a no decision, but that doesn't mean it stops there. What I said was, we just dust ourselves off and we start thinking about how we do get this done again. Yeah. And we move to the future and continue in the vein that we really need to get something done. Now, as far as the result goes, I don't think it's a clear indication of what Australian people actually think, because the negativity that came out of the Liberals was absolute total lies.
Ooh, yep.
And people believed it. I mean, you need to look at Donald Trump. Everybody believed his lies.
Yeah, from my perspective, and certainly from a leadership perspective at Uniting WA, and this applies to our work with First Nations people, it applies to the outcomes of the referendum, it applies to every single service that we deliver every single day, is that let's just keep focusing on the individual actions that we can all do and the individual impact we can make.
All right.
It's easy to get overwhelmed when we think too big about what can I do or not do. But you know what? It's not that hard to think about what can I do if you think about those individual actions that we can take. And we take those every day in everything we do at Uniting, including our work towards a better country and reconciliation.
Good. Well, we've been talking to Michael Chester and Tony Cal-Garrett. Michael Chester, CEO, with a strange accent from Canada somewhere. Australian-Canadian, I think he said, with perhaps French origins there somewhere and else. And Tony, Ngadju, look, thanks for being on the show and telling us all about Uniting. We ran out of time, didn't we?
Yeah.
We're going to have to come back. Now that you're friends of Mudich Mag and RTRFM, maybe down the track when you're kicking some goals around your strategic plan, and not necessarily tick a box, but kicking some goals as to how you're going with your strategic plan. So thanks for coming on the show.
I'd love to do that, and thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be here today.
Let's go to Coloured Stone, Black Boy.
Community service announcement on RTRFM 92.1.
Black Boy by Coloured Stones. What a beautiful song there, Jimbo. It was really great to have Tony and Michael in the studio with us today.
From Uniting Way, yes. Yeah. Uniting Way. Black Boy, Coloured Stone cover, also done by Emily Weimer, which I like just as good. Coloured Stone was the original songsters band that put out Black Boy, has a great meaning to it. One day you'll grow up to be a man. And joining us today, who was here last week, Ninga the Man, Jason Hunter. Hello, Jason.
Yeah, how are you going, Jim?
You've become a regular on the show. Why is that?
Being invited is a great privilege.
Good. And Tony's a co-host who wasn't here last week. Say hello to Jason Hunter.
Yeah, g'day, Jason. Good to hear from you again.
Yeah, remind our listeners, even though you were on last week, and Ninkina people are listening to you now in Derby, who's your mob and where you're from?
Yeah, well, I'm Ninkina Warrow and Nolnil man from around the Derby region, Derby Broome region.
Yeah, good to have you back on the show. And you're in Geraldton today. Why are you in Geraldton today? I mean, I know you're keen to get into politics, but what is your aspirations at the moment?
Well, yeah, I'm running in for the seat of Durack for the Indigenous Aboriginal Party of Australia, IAPA. We're running for the lower house. We're on the ballot, so we're very excited about this.
So you've obviously got to do some work and campaign, and that's what's taking place up in Yamatji country in Geraldton today, eh?
Yeah, that's correct. We're doing the pre-polling. We did a campaign talk with the minor parties last night, which was, went very well. So, we're trying to get our views across, our policies across, and, trying to get some support.
Excellent. People are driven. Jason, I've known you for a while now. You're doing some research. You're at UWA. What else has inspired you to get involved in politics?
Well, it sort of started, with the voice and the failure of that. And I was like many other Aboriginal people, very upset at the loss of the referendum. And I think I can speak for a lot of Aboriginal people, and we feel like it was a lot of disrespect for people that voted no, and we've had a lot of things taken from us, and we asked for something back, and we just got a big resounding no from the vast majority of Australians. So I joined IAPA, and going to try and make a difference that way now. So yeah.
Good. I mean, IAPA, I haven't heard of a great deal, but so that's inspired you as having a national voice for First Nation people? And I guess we've got other candidates standing around the country. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, well, the Indigenous Aboriginal Party of Australia started in Wilcannia because of the excessive water extraction in and around the Barker, the Darling River, which was causing massive problems. So the Barkindjini people could not practice their traditional activities because the water was so low. So Barkindjini Elder Owen Wyman and his mob started IAPA, and they ran five candidates in 2022, and they did quite well in the election. This year, IAPA is running nine candidates in a mixture of lower house and upper house seats in Victoria, New South Wales, Queensland, Northern Territory and Western Australia. And this is the first time we're running a candidate in WA. So, it's all very exciting.
And that is yourself, Jason Hunter, a Ninkina man, is on the ground in Geraldton telling us about the campaign trail and what he hopes to achieve, and that we'll ask that question shortly. But thanks, Jason, again, for being on the show last week, for giving a bit of a lowdown to our listeners around the state and Derby about Ninkina country and what we know about Derby. And so thanks for being involved in that. So some of the policies then, how do you see that panning out, and what is the major drive for your political stance with the Indigenous Party?
Yeah, well, Durack's geographically the largest electorate in the world. So, being Kimberley-based myself, sort of my key focus, just like the Barkindjini people, then you're going to Mangala Warrawa people and all the seven tribes along the Mutawarra Valley, we want to protect the Mutawarra, the Fitzroy River. We're fighting against a company called Black Mountain that wants to drill 40,000 fracking wells in and around the Mutawarra. There's a big campaign that people may have heard of called Frack Free Kimberley. So we want to, spearhead with them and support the Frack Free Kimberley campaign. But across the nation, IAPA stands for Protecting our Sacred Rivers and Cultural Heritage Sites. We're pushing for Indigenous-led education for Indigenous children, Indigenous-led support for the trauma healing that so many of our people have been through since colonisation. We're pushing to keep Indigenous families together, stop them taking our kids. We want to focus on the dysfunction, not just taking kids out of community and out of families. And going back to the old times of the stolen generation, we need to stop that right now. We need to work together to keep our families together. And of course, keeping Indigenous people out of jail. 50% of the prison population is Indigenous, which is,
wow,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Support Indigenous businesses, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Right. Jason, the last couple of weeks we've tuned in to Lagari. Lagari, is that how we say the local radio station? Meaning a baobab tree.
Yeah.
Lagari. I'm probably learning that from different people I've spoken to in the Kimberley. So what are you telling the listeners there then? How are you going to convince listeners in the Kimberley around the Derbytree, Ningaloo country, to vote for you?
Well, neither side of politics has shown that they're able to follow through on policies that would give Indigenous communities the support they truly need to thrive in the 21st century. While we're still grieving from the voice, Indigenous people continue to need proper political representation, and IAPA offers a space and political platform for Indigenous people to develop and advocate policies that will truly benefit us.
Right.
So we need to get involved.
Good on you. Look, great response to that question, and look forward to tuning in with you again sometime down the track to give an update on what's happening in Ningaloo country, and that might be after the election. And good luck with your politicking, and we hope to hear from you soon. And we've got a big shout-out, too, so thanks for joining the show, Jason.
Yeah, thanks very much for your support. Yeah.
Good on you.
All the best, Chase.
Good on you. We're going to finish off with Mitch Tambo, but before we go there, Tonj, Anzac?
Yeah, Anzac Day tomorrow, 110th anniversary, another special day in our history in this country, and just really want to acknowledge all those that served in the war and really acknowledge our First Nations people, men, women, and those that went to war as well. So, your dad went to war, Uncle Jim.
Oh, yes, he was in Changi.
It's a special day for you.
Yeah, it is.
So I just want to acknowledge all those that went to war as we commemorate tomorrow.
Good on you. We're going to close out with Great Southern Land. Mitch Tambo, thanks for joining into British Mag this week, and look forward to catching up again.
Thank you.